I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. What needs to be looked at to drive sales up, up, up. This is going to be a great topic. Everyone's going to love it. We have a wonderful guest who I'll introduce in just a few minutes. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, then we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to help bring and keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and to assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, both domestically and internationally, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business and sales and customer service training, and our latest addition is operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to keep organizations from getting stuck in shallow waters so clients can have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade associations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas you'll want to consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Michelle Horn, who is a longtime friend, cool person, who does marketing strategy and consulting. She is currently the marketing evangelist. I love that, Michelle. The marketing evangelist for Leading Results Incorporated, and was previously the president and CEO of Bullfrog Solutions and director of marketing for Technology Advisors, both CRM solution providers. Michelle has taken her experience as a business analyst, a CRM consultant, an entrepreneur, salesperson, and director of marketing, and combined them into a powerhouse for marketing. And as a salesperson, Michelle knows firsthand what sales lacks and needs from the marketing team. I feel privileged to have Michelle with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program, and the topic will be Selling Secrets, Connecting UVP with Your Style. Michelle, welcome to Open Line.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you for having me. Very exciting. I love participating in this series, Dana. So we're going to talk today about what needs to be looked at to drive sales up, up, up. The marketplace is definitely crowded. So the first thing I want to talk about is the trends that we're seeing. So the four major trends that we're seeing is people want more participation and control. So from fan pages to blogs to Twitter to communities to rants and comments, people really want to participate more in what's going on and how they're buying. If you look at reviews such as Yelp and Amazon, you'll notice that that's a big piece of what people are getting involved in. People really want to do business with people. It used to be that on our websites we wouldn't put pictures of our employees, and now the opposite is true. We really want to make sure that people know who they're buying from, and that's a big trend that we're starting to see. And the other thing is higher expectations. The expectations we have now for customer service is bigger than it's ever been before, and if you think about it, that's because we now have something we can do about it. If we get shoddy customer service from a phone company, you know, what happens is in the past we could never do anything about it. But now we actually have control. We can go tweet about it. We can give them reviews. There's all kinds of places that we can participate in the conversation for better or for worse. So everybody's expecting higher expectations now. You know, and then if you talk about perfect as a myth, this is an interesting slide. If you think about going to the spaghetti aisle and you look at Barilla spaghetti sauce, there are probably 12 Barilla spaghetti sauces. So what that means is that there's not one insight and one campaign message to work with in a world when we can't even agree on what's the right spaghetti sauce. Right? So everything has to ebb and flow. You know, and the other two things I didn't put on the slide, but I do want to talk about, you know, is that trends is that listening is becoming very important. You know, the reality is we've really got to get good at listening rather than talking. It's not about how good we are at putting our message out there because, frankly, there's just so much noise in the marketplace. There's so many people talking, it's really hard to get your message through. So if you listen and you listen to what your customers are saying and listen to what your prospects are saying and listen to what the market is saying over social media and various other channels, you will get to be really smart about how you message yourself and how you position yourself in ways that matter most to your ideal customer. So what we've got to do is get really good at listening as opposed to just talking. And it's about how good our message is, so it's not about our hearing. The other thing that's not on here is the proof. We've got to get really good at delivering proof as well. Lots of people make promises. There's lots of promises out there. You know, what's the proof that you can deliver on your service or the proof that your product delivers what you say it's going to deliver? So we've got to be very clear about how to provide all that proof, and we'll talk about that more as we kind of get into this. You know, you can do case studies and quotes and reviews, but how are you going to share with somebody that you really are going to deliver what you say you're going to deliver? So the next slide is kind of talking about interruption. And the basic theory here is that that interruption marketing doesn't work anymore. And that's what we used to do. We'd send a postcard, we'd do a telemarketing campaign, and we'd find somebody. Well, people are either becoming immune to this or they're using technology to block out these interruptions. So in order to be effective, we have to move from interruption-based marketing and selling to a world of permission-based marketing and selling. And that helps us get found by the people who need us when they need us. So we've got to get really good at farming versus hunting, especially if you're in the business-to-business environment. We used to be able to go out and just send out a few direct mail letters, maybe make a couple of phone calls, really take a sniper approach on trying to find people that we wanted to sell. But the reality is with call screening, mobile phones, unlisted numbers, you know, we can't get in touch with the people that we used to want to get in touch with because they're avoiding us, and it's very difficult now to go hunting for more for new prospects, meaning you're looking for them. So the way to turn that around is we've got to get better at farming, and this is also called nurture marketing or drip marketing, however you want to put that, which is how do we grow these prospects over a period of time? How do we have a large number of people that we're interacting with and giving them the type of information that lets them kind of bubble themselves up to the top, self-select that they're ready to buy? And your website and your marketing message and your sales message really becomes a key part of it as well. You know, how do we do a better job at farming and getting the message out there? Planting the seeds for future customers, you know, so that we can get them to come back and work with us. So this is kind of some of the stuff that we're talking about, which is how do we stop interrupting people and how do we change that paradigm?
Michelle, a question came in. What are the types of interruptions that happen? You mentioned a couple.
Well, personally for me, the worst interruption is a telemarketing call. When somebody calls me and says, are you Michelle Horn and are you the, you know, chief bottle washer? Now I'm not rude and I don't hang up on them, but I certainly couldn't blame anybody for saying, I do not have time to deal with this. So for me, telemarketing is probably the worst, most intrusive for me. There's all kinds of other marketing. You know, we all get emails every day from people we have no idea who they are, and we don't even need their product or service. I probably get 10 a day. I don't even need your product or service, not even close to needing your product or service. So these are the things that are interrupting people. And if, you know, most people think they sent out a really great campaign, and again, whether it's sales or marketing or the combination of two, they send this information out, they're just falling on deaf ears. So the question is kind of how do we change this paradigm? So I'll talk about that in this next slide. So this next slide is, you know, it's a couple of things. It's called the new buying stages, or it's called the hourglass approach. And how this came about is a gentleman by the name of John Jantz wrote a book called Duct Tape Marketing. And he was an E-Myth consultant as well as a marketing consultant. And if you've ever read the E-Myth, E-Myth is all about processes. How do you put processes in place to have your business run smoothly and effectively so that you can step out of the day-to-day stuff? And what he found out is that people didn't have any marketing or business development processes. So he came up with what he calls this definition of marketing. And if you think about the definition of marketing, all of us would have a different definition. Just like if I said, what do you think is the color of green? Invariably, every person would come up with their own color. It might be a couple of shades off, but it would definitely be their own color. So he came up with this, the definition of marketing is knowing that people that, it's getting people that someone with a need for your product or service to know, like, and trust you. Then they'll try you out, and then ultimately they'll buy from you, become repeat customers, and then in the perfect world, they move into an evangelist stage, which they end up referring you on a regular basis. So let me go through this, because this is probably one of the most brilliant things that this guy came up with, which is if you think about the typical pipeline funnel, right, it's just a V. So we find a whole bunch of sales leads, we get them into the funnel, little by little we funnel them down into them buying. Well, quite often people stop there, and what Duct Tape Marketing says is Duct Tape Marketing is saying, look, there's a whole other reverse funnel on the opposite side. Getting them to buy is just the beginning of the process. You have to get them to repeat buy from you, which means either more services, cross-selling, upselling, whatever you want to call it. And then you have to get them to refer you. So it's not just a funnel anymore. He really refers to it as an hourglass, which I think actually, again, was a really brilliant way of looking at it. So to kind of go through what these mean, the no is how do you get somebody to find you? That's what the no means. How do they find you online? How do they even know that you're out there? How do they aware that you exist? And there's different tactics for each one of these things. So, you know, it might be SEO, it might be blogging. There's all different ways for people to find you, right? It could be advertising. It could be networking, whatever the case may be. There's the no. Then they have to like you. And what like means is they have to resonate with what you're saying. They have to think that you have a fit, that there's a fit between the two of you, okay? And remember that people are buying from people. So, you know, when a person is buying, when people want to buy from people, again, they're buying from the company, but really and truly they're also buying from whoever's interacting with them. So they have to go to the website and make sure that, yes, we're all on the same target. We're talking about the same thing. Then once they like you, then you have to get them to trust you. And to trust you is make sure that they believe that you can deliver what you say that you can. And this is actually a really big thing. The interesting thing about this hourglass is that if you think about it as a buying stage, people don't skip. People buy. People don't skip these stages. They don't ever go from no to try. They have to go through to like you and resonate with your message. They have to trust that you're a possible solution, and then they're going to try you. And what this try means is how do you minimize their risk? How do you make sure that they feel comfortable with buying your product or service? And there are different types of try. Webinars are tries. Seminars are tries. Complimentary audits or, you know, let me spend an hour with you and point out some things. Those are types of tries. And we can all do types of tries to get them to minimize their risk to the point where they say, you know what, I like you. I trust you. I'm comfortable with moving forward, and then I'll buy. And again, the buying's just the tip. Then the question is how do you get them to buy from you consistently and like buying from you? And part of that is really instituting a process where they go through from a buying process that they become evangelists, that they love you. Everything about what you do is exceptional customer service. And I think that's one of the places that we all really fall down in. Is that we get somebody to buy from us, which is great, fantastic, but that's just the beginning of the journey. Because if at the end of the journey they're not a raving fan, then they're going to be a detractor. And detractors now talk to other people. And if you guys, everybody's kind of heard of the, you know, it takes, you know, it takes 10 people to get another referral and takes one person to kill them all, right? So that's really the philosophy, is how do you make your existing customers come back and buy and buy and buy and love you, and then become an evangelist to the point where they go tell all their friends, oh, my goodness, these guys are awesome. You have to use them, whatever the case may be. Part of that is also, so the referral part is the actual them telling another person. What we would like to also fold in there is they'll give you a testimonial. There'll be a case study for you. There'll be a reference for you. Those are all fantastic, but the ultimate thing that you're looking for is for them to go sell you. They become basically a freed salesperson. So this is kind of what we're going to talk about as we move through today, which is, you know, there are different tactics for each one of these pieces, and are you doing those tactics just to satisfy their needs? So what do people really buy? So the reality is people really buy uniqueness. They don't buy a product, and they don't buy your service. They're really buying something unique that solves a problem. So uniqueness could be a unique product or service, a unique process, a unique experience. Maybe somebody in your organization has a unique background. You might have a unique guarantee that somebody else in your market doesn't have. You might have a unique packaging and delivery. I'll give you an example of that, which is accountants typically bill on an hourly basis. Accountants and attorneys typically bill on an hourly basis. Well, what if you were an attorney and you actually started packaging and say, hey, look, this is a fixed fee. You know how much, you know, it's going to take you to do this or this or this. People really are attracted to that differentiation. So what you're selling, what they're buying is they're buying a solution to a problem. They're not buying a product or a service, really and truly. So, quite unique.
Yeah. Any other examples of an organization where around the uniqueness side?
Yeah. Well, so I'll give you an example, something that's unique. So one company went into business and they started doing wrenches for plumbing. Not super sexy, but they started doing wrenches for plumbing. And then what they realized is there were a couple of people out there that were left-handed. So they actually literally switched their entire business to just making left-handed wrenches, and they dominated the market space.
Huh. That's clever.
Yeah, okay. So there's some uniqueness. I'll give you a couple of other examples, because uniqueness is really key. With us, one of the things that we do that is unique is most marketing companies are looking for lead generation. People are looking for new leads. Well, the question is, what about converting your existing leads? What about having processes for getting repeat business? What about having processes for getting predictable referrals? That's unique. Even better, I mean, I'll use you guys, Dana, as an example. You guys are very insightful and have amazing probing interview questions when you're interviewing stuff. You know, the other people, your competitors on the market are just going to read the data. But what you guys do is you guys really pair it with the resume and the job description and the data and do the whole complete picture, which is much more useful. You guys have a very deep background, and you guys have written a book. I mean, there's some specific uniquenesses about you. So that kind of gives you an example of some of the uniquenesses that people would be looking for.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So how do we kind of get around this? I might have skipped a state. There we go. Sorry, guys. So the new messaging, so how do you message? And messaging is not just about marketing. Messaging is about sales and marketing. The whole company has to be on the same path here. So, you know, the new messaging is don't talk about the products you sell. Talk about the problems that you solve. And this should be throughout everything from your website to your collateral to your brochures to your salespeople to networking. Don't talk about the products you sell. Talk about the problems you solve. And then talk about the remarkably different way that I'm going to experience working with you as you solve those problems. And when I say I mean the prospect or the customer. What's unique about what you're going to offer me? And then you have to make sure you tell me what I get, not what you do, because I don't really have time to figure out if what I need is what you do. And if you think about it, if you go look at all of these websites, most of the websites are the same. If you can switch your verbiage with a competitor's, you're not talking about any of the problems that you solve. So one of the really important keys is to understand what problems does your ideal customer have. So you can't, this is similar to kind of going into a networking situation. And most people have been in this. You go into a networking situation, you go meet somebody and they say, you say, hi, what do you do? And they say, I'm a business growth consultant. Okay, great. What does that mean? Well, you know, I help take companies to the next level. What does that mean? What problems are you solving? There are a lot of ways for companies to get to the next level. You have to be very specific and kind of to a T, kind of need to hit me between the eyes so I go, oh, I got it. I need that. Or, I got it. I know somebody who needs that. And so most people with this messaging say, here's what I do. And it's kind of like a gorilla pounding their chest. People don't really care. People want to know what's in it for them. The WIIFM, what's in it for me statement, which is, what am I going to get if I work with you? What's the bonus? What am I trying to accomplish here? So this messaging, again, needs to carry throughout not just marketing, but your sales, your company, literature, everything that touches the world needs to really revolve around what problems do you solve. So the next one is, how do you stand out in a crowd? So this is some interesting stuff. First of all, you need to understand who your ideal client is. So if you think about a target, like a archery target, you have the very center, and that's the gold. That's what you're shooting for. And those clients that are in there, your ideal clients, are people that value you, that are great to work with, that are profitable, and that understand what you bring to the table. Those are ideal clients. And so the question is of all of the people that you work with, if you think about who are the people that refer you, that you love working with, that value and are profitable, put those in a category, and those are your ideal clients. And so you think about it, that's the sweet spot in our target. Then around that, there's another concentric circle. And in that circle, you might have some clients in there. And then there's one more circle outside of that. If you have clients in that outside circle, you are not servicing them well. And the thing becomes, if you're not servicing them well, they're going to become a net detractor, meaning they're going to pull you down. They're going to suck the breath out of you. And Dana, I'm sure you guys have done it. God knows I've done it in the past, which is I've gotten a client that wasn't really in my sweet spot, and they just sucked the life out of me.
Right, right.
And here's the, you know, the bonus about that is if you understand your ideal client, then that's who you target, both, again, from a sales and a marketing standpoint. You're only looking for the sweet spot. That's who you're talking to, because you can craft a very specific message, again, to hit them in between the eyes and go, oh, my God, I want to be able to get to your site and say, that's it. I totally have that problem. These are the people. Stop. I don't need to look anymore. So you really need to understand your ideal client. And then the second thing is you really need to differentiate yourself. Again, if most companies, if I take the name out and I take the first sentence on their website, I can interchange that with all their competitors, almost always. Therefore, there's no reason for, again, somebody to, let's use a website as an example, come to your website and just go, stop, I got it. I don't need to go any further. If you don't differentiate yourself, then what you are competing on is price. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And if you compete on price, the reality is there's always somebody there to go out of business faster than you are. So don't compete on price. You also have to add true value. What is this? And this kind of goes back to your differentiation is, what's the true value of what you have to offer? And it's important for you to understand that, and then it's important to message that to your ideal client. So, you know, standing out of the crowd is having the proper messaging for your ideal client. You can't tell everybody that you solve their problems because you can't. You don't do that well, and it's going to be very expensive for you, both from a sales and marketing standpoint, to find those people. But if you have an ideal client, if you have this little core, this gold nugget of who you're going for, you can talk very specifically to their problems and address and offer them some solutions, in which case you hit them in between the eyes and they go, oh, my God, I totally need this. This is what I've been looking for. And then you have to have repeatable, definable processes. And this really goes back to the E-Myth written by Michael Gerber, Gerber as in the baby food. And if you haven't read it, it's a really great book. But he really talks about you have to have repeatable, definable processes. Otherwise, you cannot have, for example, good customer service. If you give one customer service A and one customer service B, you can't say that they're both getting excellent customer service because there's no process to it, right? It's not consistent. So by putting processes in place, which are, making it repeatable and definable to the point where you can step out, you can plug another person in, that's how you start getting to the next level. And the more processes that you put in place, the faster and more easily you'll be able to grow. So the next question is, so how do you increase revenue? Well, there's, in my estimation, and if anybody wants to jump in and give me some feedback, I'm sure to take it. In my estimation, there's only five ways to increase your revenue. You can decrease your costs. You can increase your prices, or for a lot of people, stop discounting. You can increase your profit. You can be more profitable. You can increase sales to new customers, and you can increase sales to existing customers. So, again, if anybody has a different way to increase revenue, please join in the conversation here. But this is kind of what we ended up coming up with.
No, that's a great list. There's a question. What's a good ratio of sales as far as new and existing customer mix?
So there's two – I might actually say there's two pieces to that, Dana. One is existing revenue from existing customers versus new customers. And a healthy mix of that is probably a 60 or 70% of existing to 30%, 30 or 40% of new. The other side of that is what happens when you get referrals, right? What percentage of your business comes from referrals versus finding new business, which is a different thing, and you really want the referrals to be high. I mean, Dana, you're kind of picture perfect at this. Your business is primarily run from referrals, and that means that you really and truly get to do less work, right? You have an easier time convincing people to know, like, and trust you because somebody has typically already brought you in and said, you have to talk to Dana.
Right.
Right? So you actually have an easier time of building your business. When you have to go find a net new person, you know, in the software industry, they're called net new, which is what we do a lot of work in the technology industry. When you have to go find a new client, it takes a lot more energy and a lot more money and a lot more time just trying to convince them to know, like, and trust you. So there's two ways to look at that. Thanks. That was actually a great question. So how do we increase our sales? So there's a couple of ways that we can increase sales. We can generate leads, which is what I talked about, how do you get new people, new blood. How do you increase your lead conversion? So it's funny, most people that we talk to say, oh, well, I need to get new business. I need to generate leads. The reality is that they don't really need to generate leads. They need to do a better job of increasing their lead conversion, right? If you get... I had one person that was getting 40 new leads and they were closing 1 to 5%. That's pretty dismal. That's hard work. When you're talking to 40 people and trying to close and you're just getting to close a little bit of that, that's tough lead conversion. So the question is, how do you put a process in place to convert those leads? You can increase your upsell, your cross-sell, your repeat business, however you want to, whatever floats your boat. But you have to have a process to do that. You know, most people do that haphazardly where they kind of hope for, oh, okay, that's great if I get new business, but most people aren't being proactive about it. And I'm not saying pushy. I'm just saying proactive and have a process that leads to predictable upselling and cross-selling and repeat business. And then the last way to increase sales is get predictable referrals. Create a way to have predictable referrals. Most people get referrals haphazardly. And I don't know if you fall into this, Dana, but you happen to be kind of a referral king, but most people get referrals just land in their lap. So the question is how can people put processes into place to make that predictable? You know, what can they do over and over again so that they know at the end of the day when somebody is done, when a prospect has become a customer and a customer's been through the cycle, whatever that fulfillment cycle is, how do they get that customer to predictably give them referrals over and over again? How do you do that? So like I said, most people think that it's really lead generation is the issue, and the reality is it's not. It's really this, once they're already in your pipeline, how do you really maximize what you've got? Because, again, for the leads, right, you've already got the leads. You've already spent the money, the time, the resources to get them in. For your existing customers, they hopefully, I use hopefully, they already, you know, like, and trust you. You don't have to go do that piece of the puzzle again, right? You just need to get them into a mode that it's predictable where they're buying again and again and again.
From the referral side,
mm-hmm.
What are some thoughts regarding nurturing versus being annoying? Or less, because some people will just, oh, thank you so much for that referral, and they'll push for more and more and more, but maybe they're tapped, maybe they're not.
So that's where the process comes into place. So if you have a process and you are talking about the right things. So I'll give you an example. One of the things that we do from a referral process is people have aha moments, is what we call them. And an aha moment is you're in the middle, you're getting ready to finish the project. Somebody's very happy, and they say, hey, Dana, that was really great. I really enjoyed how you do that. Then you would have a standard response, by the way, and the response is, that is so fabulous. I really appreciate it. Could you... You know, if you know somebody who has these needs, remember we talked about you already know the needs of the people you're trying to attract. If somebody has these needs, I would really love if you would refer me. And quite often, if you spell those needs out, quite often they'll say, you know what, Dana, I actually think I do have somebody for you.
So that's why I could ask if you're a member of an association or any kind of groups or whatever it may be.
Right, and you do this, right? This is something you do well. Hey, and by the way, we do talks to associations and groups. That's a great way, but it needs to be done in a process, right? So every time you're touching them, very gently, you're not annoying them. Very gently, you're saying, hey, by the way, you know, it might be an email at the end of Christmas. Hey, by the way, thank you so much. Let me rephrase that. Maybe it's a card. I'm a little bit more fan of a card. Maybe it's a card that just says, this isn't a Christmas card. I just wanted to say thank you for your business, right? I just appreciate what you've done. And as you know, we grow our business by referrals. This is how we market. It's important, it's so important that we have based our entire business on this model or something of that nature. Does that make sense? So we're gently reminding people that this is how you grow your business. But a lot of that will come, Dana, from understanding what are the problems and frustrations of your ideal customers. And if you tell people, if you educate your customers and you educate also your strategic partners about what are the issues that you solve, they are more inclined to refer you as opposed for you to just say, you know, I help people, I help companies hire great people. Does that make sense?
Right.
So... You know, and one of the interesting things about lead conversion, you know, a lot of people would call this nurture marketing, and it kind of goes on the same vein, Dana, which is how do you know if you're bugging them or not. If you are adding value to the conversation, you're usually going to be okay. If you're pounding your chest and saying how cool you are, people honestly, they don't want to hear that and they're going to delete you. But if you're adding value to the conversation, that's one way that you keep from annoying them. Secondly, nowadays, with all of the technology out there, you can start delivering content on a much more specific basis. So if I know that somebody's interested and they just started looking and they're not really in the right price range for me, I can deliver them certain pieces of content. If I know that they're more qualified, I might deliver them maybe, say, a different campaign of content. If I know somebody's hot to buy, they're really close to buying, I might deliver them a third series of information. Okay.
So it really needs to be really well defined.
Very well defined. And the reality is this, again, this goes back to 54% of people do the research in advance of buying a product or service. So 54% of people will already do the homework, and then they just call the salesperson. They say, okay, I'm ready. But that's not what you want. You want to be educating them along the way. And the reality is that when you get a lead, only 12.5% of them are ready to buy. 17% will get discarded immediately, and then there's another 70%. So the question is, what do you do with that 70%? And I'll tell you, most people just let it just die on the vine. So that's why nurture marketing is such an important piece.
A question that came in. Nurture marketing, does that include having articles going out to specific targeted groups of people, talks, the full gamut as part of the PR wrap, or?
Nurture marketing is about moving them along that buying cycle, the know, the like, the trust, the try, the buy.
Okay.
So nurturing marketing is doing different things. So there's all kinds of tactics that you can do to get them to move from one to the next. So you're right. You named, you know, PR, seminars, webinars, articles, blogs. There's all kinds of ways to move them to the next level. And what's important is to understand for each level what are those tactics. So, you know, if you look at, here's the fill in the gaps. So that's a perfect lead-in. So the fill in the gaps is, you know, what are the things that you can do to get people to find you, which is the know? What are the different tactics that you can get to have people like you, that to have a resonating message, okay, to say, yeah, I'm interested in looking further. What are the things that you can get to do to have people trust you? You know, trust, Dana, you've written a book. That's a good piece of trust, right? You must be an expert if you've written a book. And that's not always the case. We know that. But that's how people think. It's the perception.
Right.
If you speak at conferences, if you're a speaker, you must know what you're talking about. Okay? So there's some of these perceptions of trust. Case studies convey trust. Testimonials convey trust. There's all these types of tactics that convey trust. You know, and then the question is, you know, what are the different things to try? Speaking is an excellent try. When people hear other people speak, they instantly, if they're resonating with what they say, they're instantly attracted to what they're talking about. So the try is an imperative thing. So for trying, for us, we do audits. Dana, I know you have a couple of tries as well.
Right, that's great.
So there's different ways that you can try it. Then you get them to buy. That's a pretty straightforward, this is how they're going to buy, although it does mean to be consistent with how you've been doing everything else. You know, and then how do you get them to repeat? You know, there's different ways to get them to repeat business with you, right? Again, there's processes, and that those are different tactics. It might be some email campaigns. It might be periodic check-in calls. It could be webinars that you're doing for them. There's all kinds of different tactics that you can do. And then referral is the exact same thing as what are all those tactics that you get people to refer you. I'll tell you, one of my referral strategies for strategic partners is we do speaking, you know, for groups that they know. And our partners love that. So, and Dana, you kind of do the same thing too. You do a lot of speaking that ends up bringing in referrals.
Right.
So then the question is, how do you get your customers to refer you? And that's by having an exceptional experience dealing with your company. That's how you get them to refer you. And then you have a process for going through that. Oh, that's my timer saying to hurry up. So then you have a process to take them through very consistently and say, you know, here's how we grow our business. We're looking for referrals. Again, as you said, Dana, none of this is people just want to turn you off. This is all very, very well orchestrated.
This is a great checklist also to have for at a sales meeting to go through each of these steps as a review and discussion to get the salespeople to start to think that way.
Right, and so this is, you know, it's not just a marketing conversation. This is the buyer. This is all about the buyer. So the sales is involved the whole way along. The sale is doing the same thing from a like perspective, right? They're making sure that the messaging is proper. From a trust perspective, they're making sure that they're conveying their trust with e-books and articles and webinars and content to say that they know what they're doing. So this for each one of these, people should have, these are the tactics that we use for each one of these. And these may be different. You know, Dana, you're going to actually have to fill in the gaps for two things. You'll have to fill in the gaps for all of your personality testing, and then you'll have to do the same thing for the other side for all the new services you're doing, because they're not, you're not necessarily going to have the same tactics.
Right, right.
So, and then the moral of the story here is, you know, marketing is marketing, which is kind of where we're going here. Marketing and sales and business development is a system. And you really have to, you have to have your strategy done before the tactics, which is this ideal customer and the messaging. You need to fill in the marketing hourglass, and this is what we're talking about, the know, like, trust, try, buy. You know, fill in these gaps, fill in the hourglass. You need to publish educational content. You know, you need to let people know that you're out there so that they can find you when they want to find you. You know, and really create a total online presence, which is a website, which is your social media. All of this stuff needs to be cohesive. You know, and then, so we have 7 steps. The fifth one is use a lead generation trio, and a lead generation trio is you have to have advertising, you have to have PR, and then you have to have social media. So it's all got to be wrapped in together. You have to make your lead conversion a system too. Again, we already said that. You have to be very specific about how you walk somebody through that process. And then you have to create a calendar from a marketing perspective. You have to have a week by week, this is what we're going to do, and know it in advance. Otherwise, people don't do it. You know, if you think about marketing and business development, it's like a 5,000-piece puzzle. And if you don't have the picture of what it looks like, you're just going from one piece to the next, and you have no idea where they fit in the game, in the scheme of things. So that's kind of ultimately how we wrap that back into, you know, how do you get your sales to go up? You really need to have marketing and business development be a standardized system in your company. You have accounting systems. You have sales systems. So there's no reason that you shouldn't have a marketing system. And it's really critical, particularly being an entrepreneur and having multiple companies. I see that with my experience.
That's phenomenal, Michelle.
That's all I got.
Okay, that is great. In just a few minutes, it was phenomenal. In just a few minutes, we're going to conclude this show, turn off the recording equipment. We're going to open up the lines. You'll have an opportunity to talk with Michelle directly. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming December 18th open line program, which is entitled Selling Secrets, Connecting UVP with Style. Please sign up today. Reserve your space for yourself. And let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. This is just amazing, Michelle, what you've shared. And if you have questions for Michelle, please feel free to reach out to her. Her phone number is on the bottom left side of the screen, and you can all reach out by email. Information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement, to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. And thank you so much for joining us today for our Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great day. Hold the line. Let me turn the recording equipment off, and we'll be right back with Michelle live.